and of course the only donor for his blood drive for mankind. And while they only extract one pint from a donor today, I believe Jesus donated all of his blood. His blood needs no refrigeration. His blood supply never runs out. His blood is still full of his saving life now as it was over 2,000 years ago, because Jesus Christ's blood is a precious blood, and it continues to save lives today. All man has to do to gain access to it is to obey the gospel, pure and simple. In baptism, one comes in contact with the eternal life-saving blood of the Lamb. In Romans 6 and 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And of course we know that his death was very bloody at Calvary. Humans average 10 to 12 pints of blood inside their body, coursing through their vessels, delivering essential elements and removing harmful wastes. Without blood, of course, the human body would stop working. Medical science understands a partial significance of blood. They can take blood samples, and if they conduct all the necessary tests, they can presume to know everything about the physical health of the owner of that blood. The blood supplies nutrients to empower the body, oxygen to make those nutrients work, and other mechanisms in there to remove impurities. The blood is the pathway for pathogens, which make a person sick. It is also the pathway for chemotherapy, which often makes the body well again. But there is another aspect which medicine has apparently not detected under their microscopes. Life, actual life, is in the blood, and they cannot duplicate it. Blood is not only the highway for nutrients to keep the body alive, but the blood itself is and contains life. Medical science says a person is dead when the brain waves stop. But when a person is drowned, for instance, and brain activity has ceased, and they are revived, what is the biggest concern about time and the brain? The lack of blood to that brain. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about blood, but more or less on a spiritual sense, for we can never grow tired or weary of learning of the things that we know we must establish in our minds and in our memories, because Jesus Christ died for us. His blood purchased the church that we are sitting here and being members of today to worship him in spirit and in truth. For the blood of Christ is a very important subject, and we should always learn more and more about it and be reminded of the precious things that his blood has done to help us, and for us to enable us to share that with others. But before we do, we have a wonderful opportunity to go to God in a word of prayer. Won't you humble yourselves as the one selected leads us in a word of prayer to our Creator God. Blood is the fluid of life, transporting oxygen from the lungs to body tissue and carbon dioxide from body tissue to the lungs. Blood is the fluid of growth, transporting nourishment from digestion of our foods and then hormones from glands throughout the body. Blood is the fluid of health, transporting disease-fighting substances to the tissues and waste to the kidneys. Because it contains living cells, blood is alive. Red blood cells and white blood cells are responsible for nourishing and cleansing the body. Since the cells are alive, they need nourishment. Vitamins and minerals keep the blood healthy. The blood cells have a definite life cycle, just as all living organisms do. When the human body loses a little bit of blood through a minor wound, the platelets cause the blood to clot so that the bleeding stops. Because new blood is always being made inside of your bones, the body can replace the lost blood. When the human body loses a lot of blood, though, through a major wound, the blood has to be replaced through a blood transfusion from other people. But everybody's blood is not the same. We know there's many different blood types. While there may be many today with the same blood type as Jesus, his blood is the only blood that saves eternal lives. We can conclude, then, that the life of every creature is in the blood. No scientist can explain it. The blood carries the life of God. The mysterious substance that gives life to us through our own blood is his spirit. As soon as the blood is gone in an individual, that life is gone. When the Bible says that someone has blood upon them, as in Matthew 27 and 25, or speaks of a city being built with blood, Micah 3 and 10, it means the people are guilty of murder. In cases like these, blood is a symbol of death. In other cases, blood does not mean death, but life. For example, in eating meat and sacrifices, the people of Israel were always told that blood means life. You shall not eat the blood of any kind of flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Leviticus 17 and verse 14. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life, and you may not eat the life with the flesh. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 23. In all the sacrifices and meals, the blood was a symbol of life. It was not a symbol of taking away life, but of preserving or receiving life. The blood of atonement was not a symbol of death or punishment, but a symbol of life. The same was true when Jesus spoke of his own blood. It was not a symbol of his death, so to speak, so much as it was of his life. Then Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." John chapter 6, verses 53 and 54. Clearly, Jesus was speaking symbolically, not asking us to physically eat the flesh and drink the material blood, but to receive his life spiritually with his flesh and blood. What has God always used to atone for man's sins in the Old Testament times as well as the New? It is blood. In the Old Testament times, it was the blood of animals, pure animals that were sacrificed, that atoned men for his sins, carried them over, pushed them back year after year, until that time went to the cross where the blood of Christ took care of it all at once. And of course, in the New Testament time, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that atones for man's sins. We find in Hebrews 9, chapter 22, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, starting in verse 1, we find that Christ offered himself to take away sins. You know, in a lot of scriptures that are in the New Testament, they're very self-explanatory. They were written for the common man. Certainly, if we look at them with an open mind and a heart, and actually pay attention to what the Lord is saying to us, what the New Testament scriptures inspired of God are saying to us, the scriptures in and of themselves explain a very, very plain message. Starting in verse 1. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." Here we're speaking of the sacrifices of the animals in the Old Testament. Verse 2, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Jesus Christ was the one and only sacrifice for sins. There's no other place or person that is offering or will offer that. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He was the last one. He replaced all the offerings of the Old Testament. He shed his blood once. He went to the cross once. The saving power of his blood continues to save man from their sin. He offered himself once, and he's now sitting at the right hand of God, looking down upon this world to see which individuals in this world will take advantage of the wonderful benefits of his shed blood. And of course, that is step one, is through the obedience of his word by obeying the gospel. Christ, we must understand, is our high priest. He offered his own blood. He's the mediator of the New Testament, and he offered himself once to bear the sins of many. In Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Look at the great value of Jesus' blood. Eternal redemption, deliverance from sin and death, and salvation. In Hebrews 9, verse starting in verse 13, we find, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And in verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The great value of Jesus' blood we cannot put a price on. In our human minds and intelligence, we can't really fathom the great benefits that we have from the blood of Christ. We will know one day when the judgment day comes, and we are given a heavenly mansion. We will see then and realize the full value of the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Certainly it is a precious to us, precious to Christians. We of course should always remember that each and every day of our lives, the wonderful blood that he shed for us, especially on the Lord's Day when we gather here at the Lord's table and eat of his bread and drink of his blood, where our minds should be clear of all the worldly things and concentrate on the cross of Christ and concentrate on his precious blood that he shed for you and me. Certainly he shed it all. He was disfigured beyond recognition. It was a gruesome mess at Calvary, and Christ did it to fulfill the will of God, and he did it because he loved us, and he did it to cover our sins so that we would have remission of sins. Christ shed his blood, of course, we know, at the cross when he was crucified. He started to shed his blood at the first signs of being struck and hit by the soldiers. He just finished shedding his blood at the cross. In Matthew, the 26th chapter and verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." There's certainly life in Christ's blood, because even though the blood had poured out of him at Calvary many, many years ago, that blood is still alive. That blood is still saving and saving people from their sins. Christ's blood is the blood of the new covenant. The fruit of the vine to which we drink and observing the Lord's Supper represents his blood. We find in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 24 and 25, which gives us the command which Jesus what Jesus did at the Last Supper, and in verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take it, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Yes, there is certainly power in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's something that we partake of on the Lord's Day at the Lord's table when we drink of it. And of course, we should always drink of it, as he says and commands, in remembrance of him and his love for us. Christ suffered death by crucifixion so that he might sanctify and purify us with his own blood. In Hebrews 13 and 12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. There's no other entity today that is more valuable than the church. There's no amount of money for any other organization or entity that could have surpassed the purchase price of the church that we are members of today. The Bible tells us that we are all members of that one body and that we are all lively stones. The church that we belong to, the Church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom here upon this earth, was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In Acts 20 and 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." We have been redeemed, that is, bought back or purchased with the precious living blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1 and 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We know when the Israelites had to sacrifice a lamb, they had to use a young lamb. It had to be a perfect one without blemish or spot. It had to be a precious lamb. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ was our precious lamb, a lamb sent from God without sin, without blemish. And he was the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. And his blood is living and it is precious for it continues to save man today. And it will continue to save men up through Judgment Day. The blood that flowed in Jesus' veins was perfect. A new bloodline had to be established for us to enter into and receive eternal life, and it had to be Jesus's. As his blood brings us healing, spiritual healing, and redemption, and only his blood, Jesus' blood, can do that for us. The blood of Jesus is described as precious. What does that word mean to you, precious? When something is precious to you, does it not have unlimited value? You can't put a price on it, as though you could never put a price on it, really. Think of your loved ones. You consider your loved ones precious. Well, how more precious is Jesus Christ than the precious blood that he shed for you? We value the blood of Jesus in our lives because nothing else has paid for our eternal redemption. It is the most precious thing in the entire world to us. We have been justified by his blood through faith. Man is justified by the blood of Christ, but he has to do a few things, one of those is to believe. He must have faith, or that blood will do him no good. In Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And further down in Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Certainly all the wonderful benefits that we receive from Jesus Christ through his suffering and his sacrifice, his death on the cross, the precious blood that he shed for us, it will do man no good if man does not believe in God and in Jesus Christ, and believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man and suffered and died on the cross and shed his blood at Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. Certainly if we don't believe in who he is and what he's done for us, and believe and understand and accept the love that he's shown us through the shedding of his blood, the benefits of that blood, of course, will do us no good. We have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins. Again, we will not fully understand the benefits of the blood of Christ until judgment day comes and we are ushered into eternal life. Certainly, to have the forgiveness of sins is a wonderful thing, for we must have no sin if we wish to enter heaven. In Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. As we see so far, there's certainly power in the blood of Jesus Christ, for it does many, many things. It does the things that are important to us, that have eternal benefits. Certainly the things of this life will come and go, but we must look to the future and base our faith and our trust in the things that will have eternal, everlasting benefits. And the only thing that we can base that on is the love and grace of Jesus Christ and the precious living blood that he shed for us. In Revelations 5:9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The blood of Jesus Christ is living, for it redeems us to God, and certainly it's something that we should always remember, and especially when we partake of the Lord's Supper here in a short period of time. The precious blood of Jesus he gave freely, and he continues to give it to this day. We boldly enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We understand with in the New Testament, when they refer to the holiest, that means heaven itself. There's no way that we can go to the Father but by Jesus Christ. There's no other way that we can enter heaven unless we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. If we are not covered by the precious living blood of Jesus in baptism, as a believing Christian, we will not enter into the holiest on Judgment Day. The elect have been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. They have been born again through the Word of God. In 1 Peter 1 and 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. We see here time and time again of all the New Testament scriptures that explain and give us insight into the value of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's certainly powerful, it's living, and certainly it is precious, for it does things that nothing on this earth can ever do, and that is to give us salvation and to give us the hope of eternal life in due time. How do we obtain the benefits from the blood of Christ? Certainly it was shed for all mankind, but man certainly must do one thing, and that is to obey the truth, obey the gospel. In 1 Peter 1 and 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of corruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Man can obtain the benefits of the blood of Jesus Christ by obeying the truth, by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, by obeying the word of God. The word of God is given to us, inspired of God. It was given to us through many individuals who wrote the scriptures by the inspiration of God. Jesus taught it and his apostles taught it. The precious church that we are members of today, that was purchased with the living, powerful blood of Jesus Christ, continues to preach the same thing that the apostles did in the early church, the same thing that Jesus told the apostles years and years ago. Won't you hear him this morning? In John 8 and 24, Jesus said, Therefore I said to you that you shall die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus said in Luke 13 and 3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Jesus said in Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus said these things. Jesus wants man to obey the gospel. When man obeys the gospel with a humble and contrite heart, he is baptized, and that's when he comes in contact with the blood, with his precious blood. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. There were many back there in the days of Jesus Christ and the apostles, the Greeks to be specific, and many others, that thought it was foolish, very foolish, the cross of Christ that was preached back then. Of course, the preaching of the cross included the shedding of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that came off that cross. And many individuals at that time thought that a Savior shedding the blood and sacrificing himself on a wooden tree was foolish and was stupid. Many people today feel that the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the blood of Jesus Christ, is stupid and foolish and has no merit for anything. But we know those, we know better. Educated by the Word of God, educated by the New Testament Scriptures, know that preaching of the cross, it is the power of God unto salvation. Certainly the one goal and the work of the church today, as it was back in New Testament times, is to preach Christ crucified. And in that preaching of Christ crucified, we cannot do it properly without speaking of that living, precious blood that Jesus shed for us. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. In 1 John 1 and 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Christians have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelations 1 and 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 7 and 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And finally, we have overcome, and we can overcome and continue to overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28 and 18, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And because of that power, he is able to do many wonderful things. We now have the power and authority of the blood, because all power, we've been told, is given unto him. When we put the blood of Jesus on something by faith, Satan will flee because the blood of Jesus is alive and it is living. We need the name and the blood of Jesus, for life is in the blood. There is power in the name of Jesus only because he shed his own blood and offered it to his Father, who then gave him authority and power. That same power is given to all believers, but it only becomes operative or active as we honor the blood. In Revelations 12 and 11, And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In Exodus, the 12th chapter, we find a wonderful lesson here. It involved the protection of the Israelites from a physical death. And then as we read through this, let's make sure that we put its spiritual lesson that we get from Exodus 12, verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Let's remember that the Lord has always used blood to spare us from the enemy. In this case, the spirit of death could not touch them, the Israelites, if they had obeyed and wiped their doors with the blood of the Lamb. Notice here that God commands here were not complex or difficult to understand. He simply required an act of obedience and faith by them. In the same way today, Christ is our Passover, and God will not smite us with any curse, and we become clean in his sight if we are covered by the precious living blood of the Lamb. The blood on the door of the Israelites was a foreshadowing of what was to come, Christ, our better covenant. All he requires is a simple act of faith in Jesus Christ, which is not complex or difficult. The simple plan of salvation, which allows us to come in contact with the precious living blood of Jesus Christ, and in baptism our sins are washed away. Certainly the blood back then was on the doorpost and the lintel, signifying that they were completely covered by the blood. And of course, the blood of Jesus Christ completely covers us today if we obey him in full faith and believe that he is the Savior of the world. And we believe him enough that we would obey him and do as he has told us to do, and that is to believe in him, repent of our sins, confess him before men, and be washed in a watery grave where we come in contact with his blood. There is eternal life in Jesus Christ's blood. There always has been, and there always will be. Don't you want to be covered by his saving power today? If you have not, we offer you the opportunity this morning to come in contact with that precious saving blood of Jesus Christ, for there's life in Jesus' blood, eternal life, because his blood is powerful and his blood is certainly living, and it's a wonderful benefit that we all have that is offered by Jesus Christ to each and every one of us, and it's upon each and every one of us as individuals to partake of that and do what we need to do to become covered with that blood, to gain the benefit of the living blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, and the chance of eternal life if we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is my lesson. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?